You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Whoa, it's the classic song! And it's the classic panel! Look at this! We have everybody back together!
We're all back together.
The classic panel is the first time all of us have all been here, but it's classic.
Yeah. Truly.
And we always come in with some other silly song, but not this, the classic.
We gotta go with the original right now.
Yeah.
The original theme.
It's the OG, everything.
The
right
OG,
now.
Baby, the OG.
Because we talked, we saw an OG character for most of this episode.
100%. Yeah, yeah. How you guys doing?
Good.
We didn't get the memo of the suit, but we're doing good.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, I just. It was what I had in the car, so.
just casually bring suits everywhere you go.
That's
fine.
So Barney Stinson of you.
So anyway, what's up, guys? How's it going? This is the AfterBuzz TV After Show for The Walking Dead. I am your host, Ben Bateman, joined by my beautiful panel of After Show hosts with me. Look at these guys. John Carl, welcome to the show.
Hi. Great to see you guys. I'm still exhausted from last week from doing that gaming marathon, but raised $1,000 for children's charity. So.
That's
good
fantastic.
Job, man.
That's really cool.
You hit your goal?
Yes. Nice. Original goal was 500, and then I re-upped it because I didn't want to just stop at 500. So.
The real question is, are you just going to get off and go home and play 3 hours anyway just for fun?
Yeah, I'm going to go home and play Fallout because I have a problem.
An addiction.
Do what you love, right?
Exactly.
Joyce Ajuri, welcome. How are you doing?
Thanks. I'm doing good. Good to be back this week. You guys can find me on Twitter at @JAjuri. Tweet me there.
And look at the stranger sitting on the far
Who's
side.
That guy?
Where the
over
heck
here?
Have you
Who
been?
Where's that guy? Who is that guy? What's up, everybody? I am Daryl Kristen. So
you got an
I'm glad
amazing tan from your trip.
I have an amazing tan. Yes, I was out of town last week, and I stayed in the sun a little bit too much.
It's a good tone. It's the color of your sweater.
Yeah, it matches, too. Right?
It yeah. Goes. No, it's just good. It's like
it's very islandy. Right?
Yeah, I like it. No, it's really good. The yellow, I feel like the yellow almost clashes. You're too. It's too smooth. The yellow's too
oh,
bright.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. Anyway. No. Welcome.
Well, I'm glad to be back
good
with you guys.
Back.
It's good to see you guys.
Thank you for coming back. We're so happy to have you back.
Yes.
So this is the AfterBuzz TV After Show for The Walking Dead. This was episode 6 of season 6, titled Always Accountable. And I don't know. What did you guys think? What was your initial thought of the episode?
My initial thought was that this was a little slower paced than the rest of the ones that we've seen. I feel like the excitement really took off in the beginning, which was great. And then this episode was kind of low-key, more reflective. Is that a word?
Reflective?
Reflective?
Yes, yes. Reflective.
Yeah, there you
sure,
go.
Sure.
in terms on the character's part, so.
I feel a little bit like... I know this is going to be bad to say, but I feel a little bit like we've had a little bit of a bait and switch with the tone of the season. Because the first three episodes were so cool. And I know we can't just have, like, nonstop action the whole season. That wouldn't be good storytelling.
Yeah.
But I do feel that this middle few episodes feels a bit more like the traditional filler that some of the slower seasons have given us, where I'm just sort of like, I really want to get back to the driving force of what's going on in this story, and I feel like you're giving me a lot of background before we can get back to what I really want to see.
Well, especially also since we haven't really seen Sasha, Abraham, and Daryl in a while, so I was really excited to see them back on this episode and get that full energy. And maybe it's because the last couple episodes we have been so action-packed that they needed to kind of slow down the pace a little bit and give us a little bit more backstory and then, you know, throw it back at us again. So.
Right.
I mean, to be fair, there was a decent amount of action.
Yeah.
There were definitely
some highs and lows in the episode, but, I mean, you start out with them being ambushed and, like, people shooting at them with machine guns and stuff like that. So it just was really quick bursts of it as opposed to, like,
steady pace.
Yeah. Throughout the entire episode.
It wasn't like I thought it was a bad episode by any means. To be totally fair to this show, and I don't want to give anybody the wrong idea here, I look forward to this show on Sunday nights more than anything on television.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Like, I love it. I literally count the minutes. Well, so it doesn't matter how good or bad the episode is. It's still The Walking Dead.
It's still The Walking Dead.
And I still...
It's still a win.
They do a good job with it because we talk about caring about characters in the show a lot. And I feel like they've kept a lot of the great core people. We've said this so many times. So like, I still care about knowing what's going to happen to Rick and now Sasha and even Abraham. Like, I care about them. So, like, that's why I look so forward to watching this, too. It's like, I mean... I'll endure through, like, the slower episodes or, like, through the seed planting episodes,
right?
Because I want to, like, I care enough.
It's really, I did not see the Sasha Abraham thing going. We'll get into that a little more later. That was a big side.
That was interesting, yeah.
Yeah, I felt sideswiped by that a little bit. I didn't know what was going on. So we're going to break down the whole thing piece by piece. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody here. I want to remind everybody that we are on iTunes. You can download this. It helps us to stay high in the ratings if you rate and review. It's awesome if you do that. Also, we're on YouTube. So if you guys, like, want to comment, let us know how we're doing. Once again, we do this because we love to do it. We got to keep the lights on. You guys doing that helps keep the lights on. We can't do the show in the dark, so it helps out with that.
And on Twitter, use hashtag ABTVTWD.
Yes.
We have it open during the show, so if any comments come through, I'll see them on here.
Cool.
And if anybody
I need a more subtle iPad case for this.
It works for you, though. It works.
It's Hulk green.
Or put, like, a Walking Dead logo on the back. That's what you can do.
Yeah, just put a sticker.
Yeah.
Walking Dead, let's get some stickers in here for the iPad. Come on. But if you guys want to tweet at any one of us personally while we're doing this show, we'd love to be a part of that. So starting over here with my man D, how can they find you?
At Daryl Christen, DerrialChriston.
Yeah, and you can find me on Twitter at Jay Azuri, and also on Snapchat at Jay Azuri. I do a little bit of behind the scenes with all of us in the studio, so it could be cool to watch. Check it out.
Yeah,
at the John Carl, THEJOHNCARLE.
And I'm Ben Bateman. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. I feel like the Snapchat stuff, like, you guys are really good at it. And I'm just really awkward. You're always like, what's up? And I'm
I love Snapchat. I love it. Yeah. It's so fun.
I'm not good at it.
Girls are much better at Snapchat.
Yeah.
It's just ingrained in them better than it is for us.
I was talking to someone about Periscope last night, and I was like, I just feel so self-conscious. I'm in public, and I start talking to my phone.
I'm just vain. Yeah. I've come to terms with it. It's fine.
she was like, if you're doing it, people be like, oh, look at that vain gap. She's like, if I'm doing it, people are just like, look at that stupid girl. And she's like, no, I'm okay with that. All right,
we're good. Our systems detect that a host has wandered off.
Fair enough. Let's get back to the episode. So, number one, we start out and we have our gang on the road. They're drawing the zombies away, and we endure a brutal attack, a gun attack,
if
you will, from some faceless attackers. And it felt like, how many did we think we saw? Maybe four, something like that.
It was
something
what,
like
three,
that.
Three cars.
Yeah, I saw like three or four cars. Yeah.
Some heavy artillery. We had like some big machine guns and whatnot.
Yeah, sure. They seemed well equipped.
Yes. Yeah. And so we have
back to haunt you.
And we seem well equipped. And we had like the two. We had Daryl go off from the group
on his motorcycle.
On his motorcycle, he gets away. I guess it looked like he maybe got grazed by a bullet or something like that on his elbow. And then we had Sasha and Abraham in their own world. So what do we think about this group of attackers?
Well, I thought it was really interesting that it wasn't even like one or two bullets when Sasha and Abraham retaliated. They just went for it, and they unloaded into that car. They were like, we're not even giving an option on this one. I thought that was... It's kind of, you know, when we get to later in the episode, it's like, well, have you killed anybody? And it's like, well, this wasn't just killing. Like, they made sure they were dead.
Yeah.
For sure.
Full on. It was like, remind me of, like, Reservoir Dogs. Like, we went through the windshield. So they definitely unload just, like, full tilt. One of them had a silencer, right? Does Abraham have a silencer on the end of his... assault rifle?
I didn't notice. I don't know.
It's a big looking cylinder at the end.
Probably.
I wasn't paying attention to that, to be honest.
I just wanted Abraham to dip a little bit lower in the car. I felt like those bullets were going to fly and hit him in the head at any moment, though, initially.
Well, the guy in the other truck, the one who was chasing Daryl, was a terrible shot.
Yeah, he was.
He was a horrible shot. You have one job. Your one job is shoot the guy on the motorcycle who has no armor or anything like that, and he couldn't hit him?
He's exiled out of the group.
That guy sucked.
So before they got attacked, here's what I wanted to ask. This is like earlier in the story, right? And they're trying to draw the whole herd away from Alexandria.
Yep.
So they turn, right? And that's when they get attacked. But what happened to the herd? It wasn't that far behind them. I feel like the herd...
Well, I think they were far enough behind them.
You think so?
Because they were gunning it in the beginning.
Yeah,
they were. Like, they were going full throttle with the car and the bike.
Yeah,
and
they
stuff.
Need to get distance between them. They said where they started... it was a mile off to the turnoff, so they gunned it at that point. And if they're going, you know, 50, 60, 70 or whatever to get away, they're making a lot of space before that turn. And then we also don't have full context from where they made the turn to when the attack actually happened. So they could have been 3-4 miles away from the herd at that point. So,
and the idea is that they would just, like, ditch the herd and then come back later, and the herd would just be like, indefinitely going in that direction, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole...
Most likely.
That's the premise behind it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So they get attacked, and nobody takes a fatal bullet. I guess, in theory, they killed two attackers in the car.
The attackers took a fatal bullet.
Yeah, they took several fatal bullets.
We don't know how many, though. One or two in the car, right?
Assuming two.
Yeah.
Okay, so do we want to talk about Daryl first, or should we talk about Sasha first? What do you guys think? Or Sasha and Abraham? What are you guys more interested in?
Let's do Daryl.
Yeah. Okay, yep. Let's talk Daryl. So Daryl ends up, he ditches his jacket. He's got a cut. It looked like maybe on his arm or his elbow.
I thought it was. I thought him it was. Falling off
from
bike. Him,
yeah, like almost rash. Like the burn from the road.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was
yeah. Road. That's what it seemed like. Yeah.
Interesting. And he's next to this, like, burned alive biker.
Yeah, which is cool. Yeah, I like that scene because of the fact that even when they went to the commercial break, you saw him. It's almost like they were touching arms, you know, and, like, yeah. He had the walker had the helmet on, and it was a pretty cool setup for the commercial yeah. break.
To be fair, that's also the safest you could ever be next to a walker.
Absolutely. Yeah, when they don't have a body like that, yeah.
Well, he has no body in the one spot where he could get you. Yeah. The helmet covered him. So it's like, oh, this is actually not horribly uncomfortable being next to this walker right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
If it wasn't so easy to just stab them in the head, maybe you would just put a helmet on all of them.
Exactly.
Like yeah. wear well, harnesses or something.
It was really cool.
If you ever played Dead Rising, you could do that.
Those scenes with Norman Reedus in the forest, if you guys check on Entertainment Weekly, they have a cool interview with Norman Reedus talking about this episode. And he said that they actually burned parts of that forest
yeah.
for these shots. And, like, it was really surreal for him to, like, lay there next to a burned walker. Like, even though he was acting it out, he said it just felt so, like, real. Interesting. And so crazy.
How did it just smell like barbecue the entire right? time?
Yeah, because even when we were watching it, you know, we were talking about how it looked almost black and white initially, but right. then the colors would really pop, you yeah. know, from the characters. So
The blood especially.
Yeah, yeah, and even, yeah, definitely.
Well, they've been doing that all season. There's been so much use of color, especially when you were going back to the earlier episodes of the season where the flashbacks are happening and stuff like that.
The black
they
and white.
Played with the black and white yeah. a lot, and it's a really cool plot device because it's yeah. we're noticing, like you said, the blood especially just looks so vibrant yeah. as it's dripping down his arm and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah,
I think it was just an excuse to show Norman with his shirt off though, so like people could see his arm, so people like Joyce would be happy.
Not complaining.
He keeps himself in pretty good shape. I gotta be honest; like it's pretty clear that he works out. You know,
yeah. I know. For a second, I thought he wasn't wearing his signature vest,
right?
And then he was just wearing it on top of a leather jacket. Which yeah. unfortunately is destroyed.
It's just like a continuation of just like the classic, like people just love like rugged looking rock star dudes. That's like totally what he is.
Well, he pulls it off well.
He's just dirty looking.
Yeah. He is dirty looking. He also looks like he pretty much hasn't aged more than like 5 years since Boondock Saints, which is kind of remarkable because that movie came out like 20 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's crazy. Good he for almost him. Looked exactly the same. I don't know. I was just thinking about that tonight. But anyway, so he's in the woods and he sort of tends to his arm a little bit yep. and comes. He hides his bike because he's going to go and like check out what's going on. Comes across these two girls, women, girls.
Mm-hmm.
Are they women or are they girls?
Women.
Young women.
Young women.
Yeah. There
young
we go. Women. Yeah.
And then he gets hit in the face with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
So who
which
are these?
We later find out that they're Tina and. Cher.
Tina and Cher.
Cher.
Yeah.
Yes. And do we know the guy's name?
No, we did not. And we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. So what was your initial thought of who these people were when they're like, we think you're these people, and he's like not saying anything? Do you think they were dangerous? Do you think they were just like looking out for themselves?
For a second, I thought they could be part of the wolf pack.
Yeah, that's just what
because,
I initially thought.
Because we're still in the same day of everything that's been happening yeah. since episode one, so I was thinking like, maybe those people surrounded, like they not got an, how do I say this? They didn't get wind on like what Rick's plan is or was, but they were just surrounding areas where they were and like,
right.
you know, that was my initial thought.
Tracking them or something.
You know? I had the vibe that they was coming from some other group or faction or yeah. something like that.
Yeah.
'Cause the whole MO of the wolves is like bringing everything back to nature. The order can't stay. And these people were way too sane to be the wolves in my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And don't all the wolves have the W?
The wolves that we've seen have the W. Like, the one thing that we don't know about the wolves is there a hierarchy inside of it? And are there the people that are, you know, the planners and stuff like that maybe aren't branded? But,
yeah.
I mean, that's all speculation.
Yeah, we don't really know much yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, yeah, he sees these two young women who, like, you said their two names were Sherry and Tina?
Cher and Tina. Tina was Cher. The one who needed the insulin.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, the one who looked like Justin Bieber.
Yes, she looked like Justin Bieber.
Did you guys notice how, like, well-coiffed her hair was?
It was, yeah.
Bieber.
Yeah.
It was, like, really
well
It was
all the running
together.
In the wind. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I sort of imagine, because they were very dirty otherwise.
Yeah.
They looked very, were, like, very much like nature,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
I was thinking that, too. I was like, I love how, you know, this girl who's seemingly been out for a while, doesn't have, like, long hair. They must, like, she must want to keep it trim. They must have found a machete or a knife and, like, chopped it off at some point.
Who knows, like, where they're from? We don't know where they're from. They could be from some, or recently in some place where they have the ability to keep their
hair clean. Very true.
Well, that's what they start hinting at, is these people had left a group or society or however you want to word it, and, you know, people were giving up their freedom in exchange for walls, 3 square meals, and safety. So, you know, they probably have basic amenities like, you know, if you go back to where the governor was from and stuff, they had people who were cutting hair and, right, and doing right, those yeah. basic things. So, mm-hmm.
Well, and we even have Jessie in Alexandria who was just yeah. cutting hair before she decided to kill people with her scissors, you know?
She could still cut hair.
Yes.
Hopefully she washes them first.
Yeah, I would hope so. Yeah. She's pretty savage now, though. I don't know if she would.
She is.
Yeah.
I like it. It's yeah. good.
Just so, start yelling at Ron.
Okay, so the scissors. So they cuff Daryl up with some like rope, pretty shabby rope, like rope that he's easily able to get out of later.
Yeah.
And they're taking him on his way, and eventually they get to this, like, whatever that is, like a plant. It's like some sort of like a fuel dump something, right?
Well, before that, they assume that Daryl is from the place that they left.
And right.
That's really important is... They're like, yeah, there's so many people there. We don't know who everybody was. They explain it a little later on, but they're like, they just assumed Daryl was sent after them to get them to come back.
And yeah. clearly, they're pretty, like, scared of the way they'll be treated because they're yeah. pretty hostile.
Which makes sense hearing them say, we earned what we took to Daryl, and then we earned what we took to
those people
that we haven't seen their whose faces we haven't seen.
Right.
Yeah.
So they get there, right, and they're looking at She experiences she falls over because she needs her insulin, which we don't know yet, obviously. Daryl makes a break for it, hides in the woods, finds the insulin in the bag. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a cooler labeled insulin.
Yep.
And he's a terrible shot, the guy who was shooting, Mr. No Name, which we don't know
yet.
Because Daryl was really close to him when he took the bag. I mean, and he made those shots. And I didn't even understand why he didn't really run after Daryl more in the forest, too.
Yeah, that part didn't make sense, where I get it if you're not trying to full-on just kill him, but if this girl doesn't get her insulin, you're screwed. So you have to chase him.
You have to chase him. Yeah. He gave up pretty easily.
Yeah, and at the time, Daryl's crossbow was still in the bag, so it's not like Daryl was going to be able to pull it out as he's running, turn it around, and kill this guy. Right. The guy's just like, okay, you don't need insulin anymore, you're screwed.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, see, that makes sense later on when there's that conversation with Daryl and the no-name dude, where he's like, how many people have you killed? You know, that whole recruiting questionnaire that they always spew out.
Yep.
And when he said none, like, no, he hasn't killed anyone who's still living, that, like, kind of goes back to, you know,
why he didn't shoot
Daryl. But also, you're right, he should have run after him or something. But I think maybe he's just that nice where he's going to, like, care for Tina. Mm-hmm. Even though, like, she obviously needs the insulin, like, he's not going to just leave her.
We also don't know their relationship at all. So if somebody who's unwilling, if somebody who hasn't killed anyone yet, that could just be, like, some people that he's with where he's from that he's, like, helping take care of.
Right.
He, you know, you would have to, if you're willing to shoot someone to take care of someone else, they're both pretty tough decisions. Am I going to save a life or take a life kind of a thing?
Yeah. Yeah, but he certainly got his balls at the end when, you know, he stole Daryl's motorcycle and all the other crap later on, you know. So I'm like, how much was he innocent, really, in that, and not being able to really
let's move forward through this, because I definitely want to get to all the pieces of the episode, and this is where it gets really interesting.
Well, they were looking for Patty at the fuel company, which was Patrick's Fuel Company, spelled with 2 T's, so that was a little... But they're going after Patty, but they never actually explain who Patty is and what their relationship is either.
Maybe it's like a friend of theirs that had left the same place and said she would be hiding at this familiar location or something.
That helped them on their escape or something like that.
That's what I was thinking.
But they're assuming Patty's now been turned into a walker because it's overrun, right?
Yeah, they gave up really fast. Like, they didn't even, like, look around for her.
I know.
Either.
He said, no, she's gone. That's it?
They probably don't have the same experience that we're used to seeing as everybody else. So, like... if Rick were there and they were looking for Patty, like, they would have a plan to go around and, like, survive while looking around Patty.
Well, they definitely don't have the level of experience because he goes, well, how many walkers have you killed? And he goes, lots.
Yeah.
And he's like, a couple dozen. And, like, I'm shocked that Daryl just didn't start laughing at him at that point.
Right.
Right. Daryl kills, like, a couple dozen walkers in a day.
Right.
I think to a degree, though, Daryl, like, sympathizes with them.
Yeah.
Because... that's the reason why he brought the insulin back. And it's like, I think finding out that information from No Name Guy, you know, that he hasn't killed too many walkers, it just validated...
And no people.
It validated Daryl's suspicion that these guys are good people. Like, you know, that whole good and bad thing is still blurry sometimes, but like he still feels like they're more like him than he initially thought.
Right.
In terms of being a good person.
I was shocked that he brought the insulin back to them. I'm not saying he should have taken it, but when he saw that the insulin was there, he was still within pretty reasonable distance from where they were.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked he didn't just leave it from a survival.
And we talked about that. I would have just left it. I wouldn't have taken it all the way back to them because of just the fact I wouldn't know how they would react.
And the guy had the gun.
Still. And the guy still had the gun.
Yeah, he could have just gotten shot.
Yeah,
Daryl. But we found out in the past Daryl's actually kind of a softy a little bit.
Yeah,
well, he's actually got kind of a big heart.
I wonder if he was legitimately trying to recruit them.
Right.
I felt like he
for
was.
Alexandria.
Yeah, I felt like he was.
Yeah.
Because even the guy's like, "Well, why'd you come back?" You know, and. I felt like that's the purpose of why Daryl really was trying to go back there.
And because he was on the recruitment team with Aaron for a while, so he's sort of used to that whole process. Yep.
Yeah.
Though I don't think – they don't actually ever show the two of them finding anybody, right? He's just like is on the team. We don't have – that's never a story we saw, was it?
I don't think so.
No, there was the incident with the horse and stuff like that, but they didn't actually full-on recruit anybody together that you saw that happen.
You just assume that that's like they're –
They've gotten a couple or
part of it or something. Yep. So, all right. So they're running away, right? And there's now this truck. He says, good luck. You're going to need it. Gives the gun. Actually, he doesn't give the gun back to the guy until they're hiding. But so then you have this truck, which is the same truck we had seen earlier, right? Or is this the first time we saw it?
I wasn't paying attention to the make of the truck, to be honest.
In any case, it's probably related to the attackers, we're assuming. I mean, I guess I'm assuming anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Group of people.
Yep.
Now you hear some of them talking, right? And this is sort of furthering the stuff we'd already heard, right? Like when they say we paid for what we took or we earned what we took.
Yep.
And then there's a line that one of the guys says where he's like he only wants willing something, right? They say he only wants willing tail or something like that.
I forgot the exact phrase, but he did mention someone named Willing.
No. The sense I got was he's talking about the girls. And he's saying he only wants, like, willing girls or something like that. That was, like...
Yeah, there was some type of conversation like that. And because the characters were Wade, who came up, and then Cam, who ends up getting his arm. Yeah, he get bit. But, there was some initial background kind of conversation about the girls and needing, what you're kind of alluding to. Yeah.
Right? Like, there's some guy that these people are working for, and they say, we don't kneel. So there's clearly some relationship, and these girls have, like, run away or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we're getting?
Yeah, because he was saying he was trying to take them back. So, yeah, definitely.
And they were so prepared with the tourniquet and cutting the arm off. I mean, just immediately.
Ugh. Yeah. I love the line that Cam – it's one of the guys in the background says, Cam got a boo-boo.
Yeah.
I'm like, the dude just got bit by a walker.
That's
he's like,
it.
Cam's got a boo-boo.
Yeah, it's very much like the biker gang mentality.
Exactly, yeah.
He was so pragmatic. I got bit. They
just
come
take
over.
Take off my arm.
All right, take it. Get rid of it.
And
get
he says
he'll
get him back his watch.
Yeah.
I was like, that guy is so dumb.
Oh, yeah.
So stupid.
Daryl set him
bit.
Up quite well with that, too.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah, crazy.
Got it.
So they actually managed to get away, and they come across these burned bodies. Now, explain to me what was happening here, because I was a little confused. They seemed to be encased in, like, glass?
So I think that was a scenario where they were in some sort of, like, house or something like that that must have had, like, plastic on it.
Okay.
And when this big fire happened, that sounded like just, like, a flash burning. It didn't sound like it burned for a long time, but it probably melted the roof of this thing onto them.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why it was a layer of some sort of like brittle plastic.
And that was Deli and it was...
Deli and Carla.
Carla, yeah.
And they're telling an anecdote about babysitting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So clearly these are people they knew in the real world beforehand.
Yeah, that Tina and them had babysat for them and stuff. And then she did the dumb thing of, oh, I'm going to, you know, put flowers next to a body. And
oh, girl.
Which also shows how inexperienced they were overall. Just to even go up to the walker like that without any weapon on your own or checking anything. You
I
know,
wonder
so.
If Daryl was like, why did I bring back her insulin?
Right.
At the end of it all.
It was definitely not worth it.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I always find it interesting. So Tina dies? Tina dies.
Tina's the one that
dies. Yeah.
Tina dies. Yes. Tina's the one who gets bit.
She gets bitten.
Yeah.
So I always find it interesting when they show a character and you, like, lose someone, the minute after you lose them and you're sitting there, and it's clear, like, she's lost someone before.
Yeah.
And the look on her face.
Yeah.
I always find that as an actor, how interesting would that be? Okay, you're sitting here and you've just witnessed someone get eaten in front of you, and they're gone, and they've only been gone for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But you've lost so many people already that... This is not a new thing for you. How do you play that?
But it was weird. Her reaction was weird to me because she said that Tina was her little sister.
Right. She did.
So
yeah.
Her reaction, at first when I saw her, I was like, she's not really reacting enough to me. I mean, I imagine.
Do you think she was really her sister?
She said baby sister.
She said baby sister, yeah.
She said, it's me, baby sister, like, come back or something. But I thought back to Maggie and finding out about Beth and everything.
She was devastated.
She was devastated, and it seemed like Cher really tried her best to protect and take care of Tina, and it just didn't work out that way. But maybe it was just the initial shock that we saw.
I mean, even we go back to like the first season with Andrea losing her sister, her reaction to things, you know, it was so intense. And this was, I agree with you, Joyce, it was very nonchalant kind of intensity with her losing her sister.
That's what I was thinking. I was just noticing it and sort of like perplexed by it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think this far along in the world, you have to assume that everyone's witnessed this. Everybody's lost people.
You start to get numb in certain cases.
For sure.
Yeah. It'd be like a very interesting task as an actor if somebody was like, how, you know, you need to play this way.
Yeah.
Like, well, what journey is my character going at this point, you know?
Right.
So anyway, they start walking away from the site, and Daryl gets his bike, and he's got his crossbow. He's giving the gun back to this guy whose name we don't know yet. So then he has this moment when he's talking and they're asking questions. How many people are you with? Oh, I didn't say. What's the turning point when he realizes that he's screwed? Is it a thing in here, or is it something that the guy did that I missed? I feel like he just realizes, right? He puts two and two together.
Who screwed? Daryl screwed?
Yeah, he's like, oh, these guys are going to take my bike. They have a gun.
Well, you hear the click of the...
I mean, there was definitely the click
of the gun.
Oh, yeah, that was it. It was just the click.
And then he turns around, and that's when it all goes down. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think that these people are evil, like they were planning on doing this, or do you think it was a moment of realization,
opportunity.
Yeah.
Opportunity. But I'm still not convinced that he would have shot Daryl. That's the thing, because of the fact that... he shot at Daryl, obviously, behind him to kind of, you know, show his weight. But I don't know. I just feel like the guy is so inexperienced. Could he really have shot Daryl? Or if he wouldn't have killed Daryl, I feel like. I feel maybe he would have shot him in the arm or the leg or something like that.
I don't think so far, learning what we do know about No Name, he wouldn't have the heart. That's what he's going to be for now.
Yeah, for right now.
For right now.
That's the safest way.
I hope we didn't miss his name in some way.
No, we didn't.
No.
We double checked.
Yeah. I think it was intentional.
Specifically not been said.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I kept thinking, I had this moment where I was like, okay, he's got a gun on Daryl, and this girl has the crossbow over her back. She probably doesn't know how to operate the thing.
Well, he does. The no-name guy does.
The crossbow.
Because we didn't talk about this before, but when Daryl was coming to after he got knocked out, and it was like blurry, and you could hear them talking to each other in the background, I think one of the girls asked, do you even know how to use this thing? And I'm pretty sure he said yes.
Yeah,
he did.
So he knows how to use it, and that's why I think he gave her the gun at the end, because it's like, here's a weapon you can handle.
Yeah, you can actually do this.
Yeah.
I just sort of had this moment where I was thinking, Daryl's more experienced. You guys don't really know what you're doing. There was a part of me that thought he was just gonna like tackle the guy, knock him off the bike, and then just like take him down. Cause like, I was like, these are basically people who are supposed to demonstrate that Daryl is way tougher and that you can't just mess with one of these people because they've killed dozens of people. So Daryl, I was thinking he'll just tackle him, take the gun, shoot them both, and take his bike back.
I agree, but he is injured. We gotta remember that he is injured.
He's injured, and he's not a killer. Like that would cross the line because they haven't done anything to him where they're like shooting at him and they're missing and he's charging. Like, they're purposely not pulling the trigger on him for whatever reason.
It's like opportunistic survival. She can probably like at least appreciate on some level.
But also, everyone on this show has turned into, I guess, has turned stronger at some point. And maybe this is the turning point for Cher and No Name. Like, this is their chance to sort of change their angle with how they handle things. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to kill Daryl, but they're going to start getting tougher. And maybe that was their turning point.
Do you think they're going to be relevant characters, though? Or do you think they're just going to be a catalyst towards a larger event? They're going to come back as part of a larger story later, and then they'll just die in that story.
I think the no-name guy is going to be a bigger deal than Cher.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Just for the sheer fact that they purposely did not say a name.
Yeah.
Because they made sure the other two had names. It would have been one thing if nobody in the group had a name.
Right.
But you heard two of it. And then people that were just corpses had names. And it's like, there's a reason why his name wasn't listed. Mm-hmm. So
it was very purposeful.
Yeah.
So before we run out of time on it, let's jump over to the other side. So, we'll just finish it off. They take off on the bike. Daryl finds a truck, and he goes to rendezvous with Sasha and Abraham, which we're going to get to now.
Mm-hmm. Well, real quick, when they said sorry to Daryl before they, like, drove off, and he said, you're going to be.
Yeah.
What do you think he...
Oh, he's saying, because
he's like, I will come across you again. Yeah. And when I do, he's going to take them out.
Yeah, it's going to be the speech from Taken, basically.
Yeah. I like that because in the Entertainment Weekly interview with Norman Reedus, he said it could go either way. It could be, you're going to be sorry because you know, you don't know how to survive, and out there you're going to be sorry because of all the things you're going to run into.
Yeah.
Or you're going to be sorry because next time you do run into me, I'm going to shoot you in the face type of thing.
You know what, actually, now that you put it like that, I actually go with the first, because Daryl's probably not going to go and shoot,
kill them. He wouldn't. I don't think he would.
He's saying more, you guys are so inexperienced, you're going to be sorry because you're going to go out there and not be prepared for this.
Yeah. Well, he did start telling them about Alexandria too. So that was on that recruitment type of conversation where it's like, if you guys say the right things, I'm going to bring you back.
Yeah.
But he even said, you can get in the car with these other two, and we're going to go back. Yeah. So,
but he didn't give many specifics.
No. They never do in the beginning. Yeah. They're always pretty vague about that
right.
stuff.
It's like a screening process?
Yeah.
So here's a question for you guys who are watching now. If you guys, obviously the turning point for Daryl is that he went back with the insulin, and he decided to do something sympathetic. And this was demonstrated as a mistake by the standards that they stole his stuff and left him stranded. What would you have done if you were Daryl? And use the hashtag ABTBTWD and let us know what you think.
Yeah, let us know.
Because I think we all have pretty strong opinions about it, and Daryl's a character we all care quite a bit about. So, you know, he's clearly is a softie on some level. He's not as much of a stone cold killer as Rick is at this point, where he would just take people out.
Yeah.
But
I think I would have brought the insulin back. I know you guys said that you two would leave it there, but I don't know. If I were Daryl, and if I was as experienced as he was, and like I had the weaponry and everything, I would have gone back.
They would have found it.
I mean,
they could have found it.
They could have, but if she's passed out, who knows how long she's going to last, and her blood sugar's getting low, all that stuff. So,
yeah,
I would base it off of what I just saw happen to her.
I think I would bring it back. I think I'd risk it. I think Daryl's like a pretty good judge.
We're too nice, Ben.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys would be dead by season two.
Exactly. I'm like every man for himself. Yeah.
So let's get into the whole saga of the Cuban cigars and the bazooka and all that, because that's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
So on the flip side of things, we have Daryl go off in one direction. We have Sasha and Abraham take off in another direction after unloading on a car of these attackers, and they end up in it seems like an office building something, right?
It looked like an insurance thing. Yeah, insurance. I saw on the whiteboard it was like a
liability something.
And stuff like that. Yeah. So it was like an insurance office, I felt like.
And the dude was just a ex-military.
Yeah. And they're holed up in there, and we start to get some brewing romantic tension, which quite honestly, as I said at the beginning of the episode, I really hadn't felt yet. I guess I could have surmised that maybe it would have happened, but it still kind of took me by surprise a little bit.
It came out of nowhere for me.
His reaction was the best when we were watching. If they start making out.
I was like, if they start making out, this show is going to go a different direction for me right now.
It's so weird. I did not see that coming.
I mean, there was definitely a lot of brood tension between the two. I mean, even when you start off and you see them walking and Sasha says, Abraham's trying to kill the walker that's outside, and she's like, we don't need to leave breadcrumbs. I mean, there was definitely like tension throughout from the beginning, you know. Yeah.
Which is also weird because leaving breadcrumbs to me is a sign of where you are.
Yeah.
And then she carves Dixon on the door. So it's like, it's like, okay, you actually did leave
and
a
then leaves
there.
Muddy footprints.
And then muddy,
Yeah.
She's trying to be like more vague so Daryl could find them, but not like so.
I mean, a dead walker is pretty vague.
Yeah, it's true. Well, so it's interesting, right? They've been giving us this dangling this carrot for the last few episodes of like Abraham wants, he has a death wish. Mm-hmm. They've been very clear about it. And Sasha seemed to have a death wish in the last season.
Yep.
Yeah. And she almost got herself killed in the finale of last season with how reckless she was being. So now it's supposed to be like she's come full circle on it a little bit. And he's going through the same thing and she can see it, which is obviously that's like the connection they're trying to give you.
Like she's talking to him from experience. Like she's being his conscience because he doesn't really have one right now, I guess you could say. But yeah, I like her efforts in trying to get him to turn around because she came out of it. She seems to be pretty stable emotionally and like she kind of sees the bigger picture and she's trying to get Abraham to
He's totally
do the
PTSD-ing
same.
Right now.
She does, but there's still something off to me about Sasha even with sometimes with her with her thinking with things. You know, it's still something that to me is not 100% there.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
One thing that I don't want to say it bothers me, but it's just like I took note of it during all their scenes together. I was thinking like anytime you take two characters who are a little bit more minor, they're not like the main heart five characters of the show, and you give me extended amounts of time where like you're learning more about the depth of those characters from their interaction offsite, like not interacting with Rick or Maggie, Glenn, like the main people on the show. Mm-hmm. I always find it a little distracting because I'm like I don't really know either of your characters all that well, so I'm supposed to be able to gauge one person's sort of value off of the way that this other character, who I don't really know their value all that way, is reacting.
Yeah.
And it's all new information. It all feels very up in the air. Like, it's not the same as if you had a great interaction between Abraham and Rick, where you very much know Rick as a character. There's 100% you know his history, how he's going to react. So the way that he's interacting with Abraham kind of gives you a sense of how you should feel about Abraham. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it's not like a waste of time. It's just like it's disorienting. I don't feel like I can gauge it in the context of the rest of the story, the main story that we should be following.
Like it doesn't have as much of a like a hard hit to you emotionally as it
doesn't
like,
have as much weight. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. So I found myself a little distracted in their scenes. I don't know. Like, I wasn't that interested. What do you guys think?
I mean, I was interested just because I want to see Abraham turn around, and I feel like Sasha can be the one to do that. And, I mean, she kind of did this episode.
Yeah.
So that's what I was waiting for, and that's why I wanted to keep watching, like, their scenes this episode. And also seeing Abraham's, like, moment with that walker that was just hanging. Mm-hmm. That I was pretty satisfied with the way he turned around.
But I want to know, how the hell did that walker get up there?
Yeah.
So there's definitely something that led to the crash that led to that happening, but it was a really weird setup. And also, that thing had been there for a long time.
Yeah.
And then it was only just now with Abraham like that antagonizing it at point blank that it finally starts cutting through.
Well, he was climbing on that fence thing.
He was.
And it's probably the first time it's been rattled that much since the zombie's been hanging.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, but he's probably like getting antsy once in a while and stuff like that.
You've got some like rotting flesh and sinew in the thing's shoulder that's probably going to start to like degrade. And now that you've moved the metal, it's kind of dislodging the fibers of the zombie.
Well, I mean, the whole point of that wasn't even just, you know, how he's PTSDing about the whole situation and like had to have his freak out screaming moment. It was so it could wreck his clothing so that when he went back to this office, he could put into the military
garb. Outfit. Yeah.
That was why, because it was very like, it was interesting that he had the cut down the center of his shirt and the pants were like ripped really badly.
Yeah.
But it was like he wasn't even scratched there
at all. Yeah.
So it was really I'm gonna climb across the fence, I'm gonna wreck my clothes, and I'm gonna wear something nicer.
And he was real stoked about the military jacket, and she was not that stoked. She was something about it.
I thought it was kind of a sweet moment for him.
What do you think she didn't like about it? She gives him a weird look.
She did, but I think it was just kind of sarcastic.
It's almost like one of those like, oh dad.
Like like
I wonder if it was maybe her thinking, I knew he was going to turn around.
Yeah.
Like, I got this. Like,
or did he really just lose his shit? Right.
Yeah.
But they got a rocket launcher with four rockets
out
of it.
That's awesome.
That stuff will be relevant at some point.
And three in the case, and then the one that was still loaded.
So. And I also found it interesting, his doubt of Daryl coming back for them. You know, I mean, they've been through a lot of shit. Excuse me. A lot of stuff.
Because
there's so much shit. I keep saying shit because there's so much shit.
All right, we're five and five.
Okay,
five on the episode, five on us. We're good.
But exactly. So there was, you know, they've been through a lot, and they know Daryl's character at this point. I mean, obviously, Sasha was still defending him, but Abraham was really throwing Daryl under the bus in that regard, thinking that he wouldn't come back. And I found that interesting with this episode because I'm like, he would know, you know, he's been around him enough to know that he would come back.
Maybe Abraham assumed that guy who was such a horrible shot wasn't such a horrible shot.
that's just how far gone Abraham was.
Yeah, right.
Like that's how far, like, backtracked he's been with, like, his emotions and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. Yeah, interesting stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, and then we get, like, obviously this, we're totally surprised by this whole Abraham and Sasha business. And then Abraham also, Rosita's back.
Yeah, Rosita. I'm like, Rosita's back there. Somebody's, you know.
They're going back.
He likes some ethnic lady, though. I say that, you know. He likes some flavor.
He's, like, actively looking for trouble.
Shh, I'm throwing one more out there. Shit.
Try to cause
You're
some
the
trouble.
Best.
Yeah.
Likes him a little flavor, a little salsa in his tacos. Yeah, he does.
So we don't have a ton of time left. We should definitely try to get the grab everything up and make sure we cover it.
The one last big piece is, you know, they come around, they pick up the truck. Somebody actually suggested in the Twitter with ABTV TWD as the hashtag, was Patty the truck?
I thought it was the truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Patty was the truck.
Because they never said Patty's dead. They just say Patty's gone.
Gone.
Interesting.
So picking up on that, I think we didn't talk about that when we
that's
were out
true.
Watching. But
yeah.
That's a good point.
Very good call.
Especially because the license plate did say Patty on it.
Oh, did it?
I don't know if you guys...
Yeah, it said it on the side.
Well, I saw the side, not the license plate.
The sign said Patrick's and the license plate said Patty, P-A-T-T-Y.
So it definitely was truck.
That crossed my mind, but I still was like dead set on thinking that Patty was a purse. Like maybe they named it after person Patty.
Stuff that Daryl and I say, like you could have said that to us and we wouldn't have thought you were crazy.
I now feel like we all should have caught this. That's like pretty, all right, fair enough.
Thank you,
that's
Twitter.
A good point. Yeah, that actually makes a ton of sense.
Yes.
Thank you.
And then with the cigar box, was there something, I was trying to figure out if there was something, it was Donna Mira cigar box that Abraham picked up. Obviously, he was very happy about having those, you know, inside. But was there something with something in connection with that? That's what I was trying to figure out.
Or just, I could gather.
I just think it's him picking up his vice, and you know,
that was his thing.
It's perfect time for him to do that.
Yeah. And realizing, like he said, there's going to be more steps of life before his last breath is breathed.
Yeah.
And these cigars represent something.
Bring on the cancer.
Yeah, exactly. So so they get in the truck and they're headed back. So the big stuff that we all, I'm sure, are curious about, and I'm going to throw it out there right now. Spoiler alert! Anybody who doesn't want to hear something that
spoiler alert. Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
So, we may or may not have read the comic books on this panel, some of us, and there are probably some theories that are circulating that have to do with who this group of people that...
Well, before we do that, on the radio, help.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the one thing before we get to predictions.
That's
and stuff.
The biggest
He's
thing.
Calling for Rick.
But
we don't know if it's Rick or Nicholas.
We don't know whose voice that was. And Norman Reedus already squashed the rumor that it was Glenn. It's not Glenn's
voice. It's
too
obvious to be Glenn.
Yeah. And we That's also, like, I think we played that back 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, to make
it
sure.
It did not sound like his voice. So
I assumed it was Rick.
No.
I
don't think so.
It didn't sound
because
like Rick
to at me. This point, I feel like Rick is already running back to Alexandria.
Mm-hmm. We don't know that because we have no idea because they haven't shown us that yet. We just know that he's safe, so we're going to care when they show us, I guess.
It didn't sound like Rick, though.
I don't think they're actually going to show him escaping that spot. I don't know why.
It's just
you really
accept
think
it.
They're going to pull a Lost on
we
us?
We just need
I don't
to accept
know.
It.
It's already so removed on it. I'm not feeling
that
like
would be
it's
way
happen.
Too cheap. There's no way they can do that. It's a totally precarious situation where he's stuck in a camper surrounded by walkers with a cut hand. There's just no way that he can.
I think they'll tell us, but in a very negligible way.
Yeah.
Like it'll just be like him mentioning it in passing, like, "Oh, this is what happened to me when I was coming back," type of thing.
We'll
just be like, "That's it."
I think it's going to be a cutback. I think I'm going to be very frustrated if I don't get something good with that because that was a big cliffhanger.
It was
huge. Yeah. I mean, obviously the Glenn cliffhanger is the one we all really want to know about, but that was a gigantic cliffhanger in the same episode.
Right. So what? You started saying Nicholas, and Daryl found the really interesting theory online.
Yeah, so I found this theory online that says that, so the whole scene with Nicholas and Glenn is that Nicholas is actually...
Hallucinating. I read the same thing.
Yeah, because he was having the head trauma, kind of the things going on, and that this whole thing...
The click
off screen. And that this... All that is just kind of him envisioning this thing taking place with him and Glenn, and that he and Glenn are actually still trapped.
Right.
And that could have been Nicholas on the radio saying help.
To explain what I'm talking about, the hallucinating is that you read, I'm sure, the same article I did, which is that somebody says you actually hear Nicholas is empty before they get up on the dumpster.
Yeah.
You hear a click, click off screen.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to, if he's out of bullets, how's he going to shoot himself?
And
basically, like, because he's zoning in and out that whole episode.
Right.
I thought that was really interesting, too. It seems a little preposterous, but
yeah,
also,
but at this point, anything is possible. You know what I mean?
It's such a well-thought-out show. It'd be hard to believe that.
Well, John was saying a lot of people would be pissed off, but I think it would be genius for the show.
I didn't say I would be pissed off.
No, a lot of people would be pissed off, yeah.
Well, and what we started talking about with that episode, without being able to have the time to go all the way back and watch it again, there was very like that distinct moment where you see Nicholas loses it.
Yeah.
And when he loses it, everything goes
like dark.
It's like, could that be the jumping point from this is reality to what he's just like hallucinating is happening?
Right. So we have just in our 5 minutes, I want to make sure we all kind of get just out of the way for anybody who does want to know in this spoiler moment, this group of people.
Yeah.
Because there's obviously some speculation.
Yep.
Do we think this is the Saviors? That's the first question.
I 110% do. The reasons being, I think the no-name guy is Dwight, who is a major part of the Saviors storyline, who was introduced very early on in the comics before Negan is. So that still goes along the lines of not revealing Negan in the show until the end of the season.
Right.
And also the fact that they said the willingness for the girls, which was actually a thing with Negan where he wouldn't be with a woman unless she said she wanted to be with him.
Right, he doesn't force himself on anybody.
And I forgot what the other one was, but
there's in the comics, and I like this is a spoiler moment, but it's still not a moment where we want to like go way over the top with it. So there is like a thing where Negan he punishes people that act out against him,
mm-hmm.
and it would be in a related manner to this group that was running away that they meet. That sort of it relates to it. So it could be that it's Dwight. It could be it's the other guy in the comics who you see that has like a similar fate to Dwight.
Yeah.
We might see that. I don't know. It's definitely interesting. I think it's definitely the Saviors, the way they're selling the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my prediction.
But also, isn't in the comics Dwight the one that carries the crossbow? Like,
Yes.
He's the one that's the crossbow-wielding character.
Yeah, but what they've done so many times in the comics,
could this be like how he gets the crossbow?
They just shift things over.
Yeah.
They do it a lot. Like, they'll shift character to character. So you never really know. Like, there's a small sense I have that actually, like, that horrible fate that we think was going to happen to Glenn.
Yeah.
Still, that's it's happening.
But I think it might happen to someone else. It could happen to Abraham.
It could.
Like, I don't know. I'm curious. But we don't know. We won't go any further into that. We should probably get into actual predictions, though.
Yeah.
For things we think are going to happen immediately.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Oh, God. I honestly don't have... Because I usually go off the preview for the next episode, and we didn't really get anything in the previews.
Well, we got the kid holding the gun.
Yeah.
So that's something. So I think that's going to start to build up. And... in the preview that they showed, it actually didn't show much of Rick looking at the wall, which was the one where it's like, oh, watch this during the first commercial break for Into the Badlands. But Rick is looking at the seam in the wall and seeing the blood go through.
It was a hole, by the way. Last week we predicted
it was a
I thought it was dripping.
It was definitely
I thought so too. Yeah.
We were wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But it still is interesting that it would just be like blood coming through a hole in the wall. So it could still be the death that you guys predicted last week.
Yeah.
My prediction is going to be that it's 8 and 8, right? We get 8 and the mid-season finale, and then we get 8 more. Mm-hmm. So my prediction is that next week, we ramp back up into, like, normal, exciting, fast-paced. And all of the whole, like, backstory stuff is now behind us. And we're going to get part one of the super intense finale that reveals Glenn's actually alive.
I think what needs to happen in these next two episodes is somewhat of a conclusion to the wolf story.
Yeah.
Because... It's obvious this savior, as we're predicting, group is going to be a major piece, and we can't get to that with a third faction running around. I think there's too much going on if that's the case.
Yeah, too many people, too many characters and groups involved. Yeah.
Or at least get the leader of the wolves and find out what their hierarchy is, and if, season ends with maybe Glenn is captured by them or something along those lines, and it's like, all right, we're declaring war, and then we have to wait till February.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I think we're going to get another major character that gets killed next week.
Next week. Any idea who?
I give Abraham in episode 8.
Really?
That's why I was sort of feeling that as well.
I can kind of sense that.
Yeah.
I see that coming.
Yep.
Because we're actually starting to like him. He kind of has he's coming back to normal. So that could be good. Yeah.
Yep. It's like finally he comes around and he gets better, and it's like, nope, sorry, you're going to lose your life.
Fair enough.
Even though you think that your life is going to be better from here.
And I actually do think that it's possibly Nicholas on the radio.
Okay. Well, I cannot wait to find out.
I want to know so bad.
That's going to do it, though. We're out of time. We got to wrap it up.
Oh, man.
I know. We could talk about this forever, but we're going to talk about it next
week.
Not
according to the
time. Not
according to the engineers. We have to leave.
So, that's going to do it for the episode. Guys, if anybody wants to tweet at you personally to find you one more time, where can they find you? Start with you, D.
At Daryl Christen, DerrialChriston. A lot of you guys have been tweeting me, and I appreciate it. I try and respond to everyone, so please continue to do it, because you've been giving me some great ideas to think about as well for the show.
I like talking to you guys on Twitter, too. You can catch me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Jay Ajouri. That's JAJOURI. And on the Tuesday night Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast here on AfterBuzz TV.
At the John Carl on Twitter and on Instagram. And then, of course, YouTube.com/whiskeyandwaffles.
My name is Ben Bateman. You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. And I do a popcorn talk show called Action Movie Anatomy here on Wednesdays. It streams live at 12:30. I talk about what's the most awesome thing about sweet action movies. So come and hang out.
Cool.
And I'll be here same time, same place with these lovely people next week.
Nice.
Thanks for stopping by, guys.
Two more episodes.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I know, right? What are we going to do?
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.